All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Emily Roman with the Talent Management Office, and I have the great privilege of opening this podcast on JAG Corps promotion selection boards and of introducing our panel of subject matter experts. And with us today is Major Shalo Green, Major Emily McElroy, and Miss Kelly Yandell, all teammates from the plans, programs, and policies, or P3 team, as well as the Talent Management Office. These ladies will provide an overview of promotion selection boards and share helpful updates with the field. But first and foremost, we want to make sure everyone's tracking. The primary and official authority on promotion selection boards is U.S. Army Human Resources Command, or HRC. So while the information shared in this podcast is intended to help inform and support judge advocates in the field, please be sure to read and actually follow HRC published military personnel or MILPER messages and any updates for official rules and guidance. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Major Shalo Green, plans officer, who will provide a general overview of promotion selection boards. Over to you, Shalo.
Good morning, ma'am, team. I'm Shalo Green. I am currently a plans officer in P3, which is Plans, Programs, and Policies Office, formerly referred to as PPTO. More specifically, I work in the strength management portfolio, which includes things such as the five-year plan and promotion boards. I mention these two things because there's a nexus and correlation between the two. The five-year plan, which I'm pretty sure you all are familiar with, sets the conditions for the promotion boards, such as the select objective. Select objectives are typically how many officers we need to advance to the next rank within a particular fiscal year. The select objective coupled with the number of officers in a zone in any given fiscal year will determine the promotion rate. But for today's purposes, I will be shedding most light on promotion boards. Before I get into today's discussion, let me caveat it with the fact that I'm bound by agreements that limit my ability to provide specifics. However, my goal is to provide as much general information as I can. And so while P3 helps to facilitate boards, we ask that the individual officer be primarily responsible for understanding how boards impact him or her. For example, an officer should know when he or she is in a zone of consideration. Again, that officer can refer back to the five-year plan, which is statutorily required and published every year, generally somewhere between February and March of each year. An officer should check JAG, CNET, and or HRC websites frequently for MILPERS pertaining to the boards and the eligibility. An officer should make sure his or her board file is accurate and properly reflected in ASBS 2.0. And finally, an officer should check the foregoing websites for the results of the promotion boards. All right, but because we are lawyers, it's probably most appropriate we start with a law that governs promotion boards. So here are some laws that govern boards. 10 U.S.C. Section 611 through 619, DOTMA, which stands for the Defense Officer Personnel Management Act of 1980, which dictates the promotion rate percentages/targets that we cannot exceed on any given year. AR 600-8-29, which pertains to officer promotions, HQDA Policy 600-2, pertaining to boards, and the DOTI 1320.14. The objective of Army promotion boards is to identify and recommend the most qualified officers for advancement based on their demonstrated performance, potential for increased responsibility, and alignment with the Army's needs. Here are some key principles that govern the promotion boards, some of which can be found in the memorandums of agreement and information that the members must read and abide by. So we'll start with fairness and impartiality. Boards must be conducted fairly and impartially without bias or prejudice. Board members are expected to evaluate officers based on their records and potential, not on personal opinions or relationships. Objectivity is another factor for consideration. Confidentiality. Board proceedings are confidential to protect the privacy of officers being considered. Merit-based. Promotions should be based on merit, meaning that the most qualified officers are selected for advancement. The Army's needs. Promotion decisions must take into account the needs of the Army. This may mean that not all qualified officers can be promoted, as there may not be enough available positions. And then finally, due process. Officers have the right to a fair and impartial promotion process. All right, so now that we've talked about the objective and the connection between the five-year plan and promotions, I'll talk to you a little bit about promotion boards from a practical standpoint. We typically hold three promotion boards per year. That is the Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel, and Major promotion boards. Two of these boards are held in conjunction with military school boards. And I offer that only to draw the distinction between a board such as the Lieutenant Colonel Board, which is comprised of the board membership, and they will solely consider the individuals for promotion only, as opposed to the Colonel Board, which is conducted in conjunction to the SSC board for, and in that case, some officers who have opted into SSC would be considered by the same board for both the colonel promotion as well as SSC. So in other words, they're not two separate promotion boards comprised of different officers considering individuals for colonel and SSC. Those considerations will be made by the same board in any given fiscal year. All right, so in terms of time frame, Colonel and SSC boards usually take place in June, Lieutenant Colonel's board in July, and Major's board in ILE board in August. On average, the boards are convened for 3 days. The MILPERS for these boards would generally populate somewhere between 100 days in advance of the board and 60 days in advance of the board. Again, it would be prudent for an officer to look out for these messages on HRC's website and again on JAGCNET. An officer's board file usually opens 60 days before the board convenes. Board files contain things such as evaluations, including OERs, AERs, and in some instances, civilian academic reports. At this time, there are a lot of logistical things that happen in the background to ensure boards run smoothly. MOIs are developed and board members are selected. MOIs are signed by the SEC Army. In terms of board membership, HRC sends the JAG Corps guidance and request for membership. P3 scrubs our population to 5 members to meet the criteria published, which can vary depending on the leadership and the Army's needs. Generally, boards are comprised of 3 JAG officers and 3 line officers from the Army Competitive Category, ACC. As such, each board receives a branch brief that details information, nuanced information that is relevant to our branch. For instance, when OSTIC was developed, the boards received information about the role of OSTIC and the breadth of the work the JAGs do within that realm. Board membership is generally comprised to represent the population of the armed forces to the extent practicable, and that's in accordance with 10 U.S.C. 612. In terms of membership, the board member's rank can vary depending on the board. In some instances, board members can be ranks such as major all the way up through general officer. But generally, each board must have a GO sit on the board, and the officers must be in a rank higher than the officers being considered within that board. The goal of the board is to generate an order of merit list that includes officers ranked in 3 categories: best qualified, fully qualified, and not qualified. Usually boards are conducted and an AAR report is generated after each board, and that AAR is sent to HRC and to the branch afterwards. I say that to say that this is the Army's process to ensure that the boards are conducted in a way that is fair and impartial. I will stop here and turn it over to my colleague, Ms. Kelly Yandel, for more specifics on ASBS 2.0.
Hello, I'm Kelly Yandel. So I work with the career managers or talent managers. I help them with any of the HR systems, any updates they need to make. So ASBS, hopefully everybody's tracking, is a new system. It replaced the old My Board File. The good thing about the new ASBS is that it's open at all times, but it's also transitioned from a record brief. So there's no more record brief. Now you're going to have a candidate card. And all of that information is going to be pulled primarily from IPSE or from iPerms. So for any document in your board file, that is going to be pulled from iPerms. So if something's missing, you can go into your performance file in iPerms and check to see if the document's there. If it's not, then you need to get it uploaded. For most of the information on the candidate card, it's going to be pulled primarily from IPSE and also from some stuff will be pulled from the evaluation entry system. ES is where you submit your evaluations. So I'll just quickly go over the different sections in the candidate card and just talk about where the information is pulled and how you can get that updated. So the candidate information, this is going to be like your current slotting information. This is your assignment. It's going to be pulled from IPSE, and it's going to be where you're currently slotted. So if you need to get that updated, you have to get slotted. It's also something that can be free texted. So it's going to read whatever the MTO position reads in IPSE. For your deployments, this is going to be primarily pulled from IPSE in the manage converted assignments or in your manage assignments sections. For them to show up, it has to be coded for a normal tour. Now, in the evaluation section, so this is going to be pulled from iPerms, but it's fed from EES. So if you're missing any evaluations, it needs to be submitted through EES, and it has to show up in your performance file in iPerms before it's going to get pulled into your board file. For the joint data, so this section is actually managed by HRC's joint management branch. Your career manager cannot update this or your local S1. If you think that you should have joint credit, you can reach out to me and I'll look at your records and then submit the inquiry through the joint management branch to get that added if you need to get added. For your duty history, so this is different, right? So we don't have the record brief anymore. So your duty history now, instead of pulling from the STP, now pulls from EES. So it's going to pull the dates and the assignment or your duty title. And that's going to pull from what your evaluations in EES say. And because EES didn't go into effect until 2014, so anything before 2014 isn't going to populate. But 2014 on is going to pull from your OER data. The readiness sections, this pulls from IPSE, but it's also fed from other systems like DTMS or your medical system. So that has like your security clearance, which is going to pull from security clearance system. But you can also go into your person profile in IPSE to update some of this data. Just a note for the security clearance, if you have the continuous reinvestigation, your reinvestigation completion date is going to be blank. So you don't need to worry about that. So you're going to also have like your height and weight, PHA, pulleys, ACFT data and score, and then your weapons qual. And those both pull from your medical system or from your DTMS profile. For the knowledge sections, this is going to be primarily military and civilian education. This is pulled from your person profile in IPSE. We can help update your military education level or your civilian education if your S1 doesn't have access. So for all these sections, I should have mentioned up front, your S1 or G1 is going to be your primary POC. They should be able to make 95% of these updates. If they are not able to make these updates, you can reach out to us and we'll take a look at your profile and see if there's something that we can update. And then the final section is your skills. That is going to be pulled from your person profile in IPSE. And that covers like most of the sections. I definitely encourage everybody to go into the new ASBS system and look at your candidate card. It's completely different from our legacy systems. And the good news is that it's open at all times. So you can go in, even if you're not within your board frame, you can go in and have your S1 make any updates that you need to your board file to get it ready a couple years in advance even. So that just covers the different sections. I'm going to hand it over to Major McElroy, who's actually been working on some active boards.
Thanks, Kelly, and good afternoon, everyone. I primarily work Army Reserve files, but all the errors that I'm going to talk about are cross-component. And so Kelly's hit some of them, but I'm going to kind of deep dive into common concerns and errors that are affecting officers in the files that I've been seeing. So let's start with concerns. So these are things that are not actual errors, but you might have a concern about when you're looking at your file. Remember the days of obsessing over every detail on your ORB or your soldier talent profile, or red penning minor changes right before board? Well, the good news is ORBs and SDPs, like Kelly said, are not used by promotion selection boards anymore. I cannot footstop that enough. The systems that feed them don't even pull identical data. So your STP might look perfect, your IPERMs might be flawless, but your My Board file could still have errors. Basically, don't focus on your ORB, focus on your My Board file. A common concern also is the uniformity of job titles under your duty history. Unfortunately, like Kelly said, those titles pull directly from your officer evaluation reports. So if you used abbreviations for one unit, but not for another, there's not much we can do about that retroactively. However, moving forward, raters and senior raters should strive for consistency in duty titles and unit names on OERs. This will present a much cleaner picture in the long run. It's a small thing that can make a difference. Now, what about your current assignment? A lot of officers are finding that the titles under military work experience or your current assignment are incorrect or don't match your last duty assignment if you're still in the same role. The duty title is tied to where you sit on the manning roster, so your MTO or your TDA, and can only be updated through a force management change. So unfortunately, if it's wrong, it's a much bigger fix than you might think and likely not to happen before the board. As Kelly said, another common concern, not an actual error, is that the evaluation and duty assignment information from before 2014 might not appear in your My Board file. That's just how ASBS 2.0 works. It does not pull that information onto the main page prior to 2014. However, you need to still make sure that those pre-2014 documents are uploaded into IPERMS and in the document section of your ASBS 2.0 profile. Another quick note, which was referenced earlier, is that ACFT scores are now showing up in the readiness section of your My Board file as of about a month ago. So I'm going to transition to common errors. So these are things that you might be able to work on with your HR professional and get them fixed in time for your board. The common errors that I've been seeing center around deployments, education, and awards. The good news is there's an ASBS 2.0 guide that provides information on how to correct these common concerns. Ultimately, like Kelly said, your S1 or HR professional will be the one to make the fix, but you can definitely help them out if they get stuck. I highly recommend using Control F to search for your specific issue in the guide before contacting your S1. After the screenshot of where to make the fix in IPSA, you'll find detailed instructions for your HR professional as you sit next to them and work on your board file. A common issue for Army Reserve officers, but also for the AC side, is deployments and mobilizations. Your deployments and mobilizations should show up at the bottom part of your candidate information. The orders need to both be in IPERMS, but there's a second step. The correction must be made in managed converted assignments in IPSA. So make sure you check both places. Let's talk about education. You can add more than just your latest military education level school, which is different than the old system, but you need to make sure your dates are correct. If a lower MEL school erroneously appears to be the most recent school, it can make you ineligible for certain boards and you won't be pulled in. As long as your AERs are in your file, the MEL can easily be fixed by an HR professional under Person Profile in IPSA. My final piece to highlight is that the ASBS 2.0 system is not going to notify you when you're eligible for a board anymore. You can't rely on getting a ping or an email. You need to actively monitor the HRC website for MIL per messages, know your date of rank, and understand where you stand in the five-year plan. Are you in the zone? Are you above the zone? It's on the officer to take responsibility. You are your best career manager. Don't wait for someone to tell you what to do. Stay informed, be proactive, and take ownership of your career. Good luck.
Now, thank you so much, ladies. We really appreciate not just what you do, but all the information shared, especially your expertise. So a few big takeaways is, again, we cannot emphasize this enough, but the importance of reviewing your My Board file to be able to see what is actually in the ASBS or Army Selection Board system. You know, as these ladies mentioned, it's incredibly critical that those are reviewed. And the great news is with the new system, you don't have to wait until you are in the zone to be able to access your files. They are accessible by officers at any time. So as we close, we again remind everyone to stay synced with HRC for official information, including My Board file and frequently asked questions. You can also stay connected to updates that are shared on Jack's CNET via the TMO tab. On that tab, we've also included the guide that was referenced earlier so that officers can go through and actually search for any potential issues or areas of concern. If you have any questions, we encourage you to please reach out to your local HR specialist or to your talent manager. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we look forward to working with you going forward.